Okay. This is Leah Rain. She also has a cute mastodontian sitting there. And this is the reason why she is speaking about mastodon, I think. She even dedicated her bachelor work for this. And this is more or less the summary or whatever from her bachelor work. And it includes statistic facts and some other details about how to fake something in Mastodon. Mastodon security with Leah Rain. Have fun.
Yes, thank you very much for the nice...
Said before, I'm Leah, and I have a short introduction for you. That's me, hacking something. We are at MRMCD, I hope that's the right reality I took today. And I'm a computer science student. I'm done with my bachelor thesis and will study my master thesis soon. And my bachelor thesis is basically, part of this research I'm doing here. I did a security evaluation of the federated system Mastodon. You might know it because you're here, so you might be interested in Mastodon. And it's basically a cooperation with the Norwegian University of Science and Technology and the University of Oslo. That's the reason why it's in English. That's the reason why I'm talking English here, because my professor, hi Laszlo, by the way, if you're seeing this, or as you're seeing this as a recording, that's the reason why it's in English and why I'm talking in English. Besides my studies, I'm working as an IT security consultant now. I'm deep into IT security and I want to work on it as I work on Mastodon security. And as you already saw, I have Mastodontian with me. It's a little elephant and I'm his caretaker. Yes. So that we all know what we are talking about, I will shortly introduce the Fediverse and Mastodon, just to give a little bit of context and that, we all know what we are talking about here and what the basis of my thesis and my research is. So we start with the Fediverse, you might know. It's a portmanteau term of federation and universe. And it's based on the idea to have many different platforms for many different purposes. So instead of having one centralized service for literally everything or one big company for everything, we have smaller parts dedicated to just one purpose. You might know it from the Unix philosophy, that you have one program doing one thing well, and the Fediverse is basically the same for social media. And it consists of several different platforms communicating with common protocols. In the Mastodon case, this is ActivityPub, which is recognized by the World Wide Web Consortium as decentralized social networking protocol. But there are also other protocols for other platforms. As I said, there are many platforms for different purposes, and this is driven by the open source community and free software community. Most Fediverse platforms are open source platforms, so you can see the code, you can play around with it, and it's totally different compared to a profit-driven company like Twitter or Meta. So instead of fighting against each other, luring users away from each other, you can interact with each other and run it for your own for your own instance. And we will focus on the microblogging platform Mastodon, but there are several more like PixelFed for sharing videos, PeerTube, Friendica, Diaspora, GNU Social, Matrix, and the last three ones are here because they are not necessarily communicating with ActivityPub. As protocol, I wanted to summarize them here because there are several other protocols like the OStatus protocol or the Diaspora protocol, and the Messenger Matrix has its own protocol because it's not really decentralized online social media, it's more messaging. And just to give you a short impression, I have the tree of Fediverse branches here. You can also see the different protocols, but the thing is, it's mostly ActivityPub. So I would say the Fediverse consists mostly of ActivityPub platforms, but just to clarify, it's not the whole Fediverse which is based on ActivityPub, and the Fediverse is not only Mastodon, just to give tribute to all the other platforms out there. And just to give you a short impression about the architectures we are talking about, we have a federated architecture, which can be summarized under the umbrella term of decentralized architectures, in contrast to centralized architectures. And we have main nodes, which are here as main. And in the Fediverse case, these are servers. And the smaller nodes are clients. So if one client communicates with another, it's basically the communication of users with each other. So a user is communicating with another user by using the main node. So the idea is that a supernode, in this case a server or a Fediverse instance, is donating resources to its users, like storage and the functionality. So the user does not necessarily have to run their own instance. This is a contrast to peer-to-peer network, which are also decentralized networks. But in a peer-to-peer network, a user and a client have to have the whole infrastructure by themselves and have to provide their own functionality by themselves. As a result of federated architectures, we have the instances and the instance providers as the main entities. This is important later when we will talk about trust in the Fediverse, because the main entities are the ones we have to trust that they provide the storage and the functionality of the network correctly to each other and to their users. And then, Mastodon and Mastodontian, of course. It's the currently largest platform of the Fediverse. And the reason why I'm interested in it, because it's the most popular example. And basically the idea behind my research is to check the Fediverse and federated architectures for their security with the purpose to make them somehow better, because we all want to use them. I hope, at least. And federated architectures are a really nice architecture to play around and get away from centralized, profit-driven organizations. So this was basically the idea behind choosing Mastodon as a topic. The statistics here, that's funny because they are true and not faked by me, the latest statistics I checked when I just accessed the Mastodon API, because Mastodon itself is providing statistics about the instances and their active users by the Mastodon project itself directly. I'm not 100% sure how their API works. I tried to find it out, but more about that later. And the thing is why federation by peers is written here is because of the communication across the Fediverse. Instances have peers. Peers are other instances. They are created by social interactions between users. So if a user from one instance communicates with a user from another instance, the two instances start to federate. This means they know each other now, and they are added to the list of lifetime peers. The lifetime peers are, forever, and are not validated later, for example, by, checking regularly if the instance is still alive or something like that. It's just part of the lifetime list of peers until an instance provider decides to block them or remove them. But this is normally not the case. So basically the idea is to collect a list of other instances over the whole time. And instances are frequently exchanging information. For example, when someone posts a new status, the instances are collecting the post by each other. And just take it for granted that the information is there, just as short information about how Mastodon and the Fediverse works. And then just outlook for the topic here. The official source for Mastodon statistics is the Mastodon API. But they are only providing data about the last 31 days with active users and instances. And the list is not complete. They are only reporting about 9,000 instances. When I tried to find instances by this peer connection, I found 13,000. So there seems to be some kind of criteria to be listed by the Mastodon API. I think it's the servers on their website or something like that. But yeah, it's not showing that much information. And there are also third-party projects. The Federation is one example for that. They are a platform about the whole Fediverse with different protocols and different platforms collecting statistics about them. Same goes for FediDB, and instances.social lists more information about instances, like their availability over time, and assigns them a health score, and the idea is to help users choose a new instance. And the reason why I'm talking about this is because this is a growth factor one has to consider when taking a look at the Fediverse. And statistics are an interesting thing to monitor the Fediverse as a whole without breaking something critical. And this makes it basically interesting. But before going further with statistics, we are talking a little bit about IT security and ethical hacking in the context of federated online social networks and Mastodon. So just to clarify and give a little bit of context about IT security, we are mostly talking about the CIA triad, the triad of confidentiality, integrity, and availability. Confidentiality means that information is protected from unauthorized read access, so no one can see your password, and you can decide what visibility your posts have on Mastodon, for example. Integrity is the same, but for write access, so your information is protected from unauthorized write access. No one can post as you, in the best case. And availability means that information and services is available for those who are authorized to access them. So this is not necessarily just a classical security thing, but you have to have availability in mind when designing distributed systems and larger data structures. And we are talking about social networks, so we should also consider privacy. I know profit-driven centralized organizations might not do this, but we do this because we want to do better than them. Privacy is basically something similar to confidentiality, but it's more extended to the idea that users have control over the data, and users are an active part and not a passive part just donating some information, so they can decide what they want to share and to them whom they want to share it with. So, and when we are hacking, we want to break this triad. As I said, for confidentiality, that would mean to access data we are not allowed to access. So, like seeing posts that have a limited visibility. For integrity, it would, for example, mean to post as another person or download confidential metadata. I have it here as an example because metadata is often sold by profit-driven companies, and I want to show that contrast. And as I said, availability means, for example, a denial of attacking availability means, for example, a denial of service attack. But as I said before, it's not only a matter of attacks, because when a network is popular and you don't have enough infrastructure or badly scaled infrastructure, well, you might accidentally impact availability, which is something you don't want to, but I have it here as an attack attempt because denial of service attacks occur often and can occur by accident. And then we have the idea of ethical hacking, which means we are nice persons, basically. ethical hacking means that we are acting with explicit permission in the best case. I know it's rather discussable if it's a binary decision or a spectrum, but but attacking systems without explicit permission is not very nice and might be illegal in Germany. For example, we have the hacker paragraph. So if you access information you are not allowed to access or hack into a system, you might have to face legal consequences. But as I said, in the best case, we have the permission. But depending on the system, we might not be able to get a permission by someone because there's no one to give us the permission. So we also have to consider that we are not doing harm in the best case or not doing too much harm. So you might have heard of the terms of black hat, gray hat, and white hat hacker. It's not a binary decision if something is ethical or not. You have to discuss it in the best case and come to a decision that way. So you can't just decide like in maths that something is ethical or not. There's no way to calculate it. So for Mastodon, this means, as I said, we have an open source project. We can download it. We can install it on our own infrastructure. Case closed, we just take ourselves. We just break our own system, and that's it. Or is it not? Well, when I say it like that, it's basically not. Because we have the Fediverse dynamics as a relevant attack vector. What do I mean by this? Well, we have social interactions between users, and you can't build this on a test system. You have the problem that there are many instances in the Fediverse and they should interact with each other. I mean, you can build a setup where you have, for example, 5 instances and 100 users that you are basically faking for yourselves and attacking that, but that's not comparable to the dynamics of the Fediverse because they are real persons and attacking a social network has impacts on social relations and something I would call social hacking. And this is the point where it gets more interesting because you have the question of which attacks are reasonable and ethical. Because as I said before, in this case you can't just ask someone for their permission because it's a decentralized network. And in a decentralized network, what do? You can't just ask everyone to consent to what you're basically doing. And is that what you're doing basically attacking all of them? Is it impacting them? Or are you just following another idea that you just attack yourself, but something by accident you just impact someone else? So this might not be so easy to decide. And I will talk about this by the statistics fake. The general idea was I announce statistics because Mastodon instances are publishing information about their user number, about their active user number, about their peers, about a lot of technical details, the version they are running, something like that. And I can influence this data. It's announced by an API in a simple JSON object, and I can basically write there what I want to write. So I can say my instance says, I don't know, it's a 5-user instance, but I can make it to a 5,000-user instance just by changing a JSON file. In this case, I would have an integrity impact on my own data because, it's my own data, I'm just changing my own one. But here the dynamic comes in that my own instance might not be excluded from statistics because why should it be excluded from statistics if it interacts with the normal Fediverse and is part of peer lists? So the worst case, and here comes the conflict in, is that I really have an impact on Fediverse statistics because they're missing validation and verification measures. And then we have false statistics about the Fediverse, and the idea is to find this if there is enough validation and enough verification to prevent a statistics fake. So the idea is to keep the impact as minimal as possible, but still visible, so to do the least harm, if it's possible to do the least harm. And the open question is, what is the effect of the worst case? I mean, who's there to decide? Well, I'm not alone. I wrote this thesis obviously in cooperation with someone and with my professors. So I discussed it with them, I discussed it with other students of a similar research group, and I discussed it with some friends running Mastodon instances, if this attack is, yeah, somehow ethical or at least reasonable. And the impact might not be that hard, because what is Mastodon currently? It's a platform for mostly nerds. I don't mean only technical nerds, but nerds for, yeah, every topic. I mean, there are art instances, there are instances for several regions. You can find basically an instance for everything on Mastodon. But it is currently less important as a source for news or political stuff. And even if it's relevant as a source for, yeah, news and political stuff, it might not be, yeah, that hard depending on statistics about an instance. Well, an instance at least someone is running in the Fediverse, because everyone can be an instance provider and can be running an instance in the Fediverse. And it's not a live or death question, it's about social media. It's not critical infrastructure we are touching here. It's basically something that should, yeah, be a part of the fun life of people, but nothing very serious, like, I don't know, water supply, electricity, something like that. And that's the point where you can break the real things. And if you're just doing some social media hacking, the impact might not be that hard, but we still want to have it secure. And yeah, the thing is, there might be confusion about statistics, the reputation of some statistical services might be impacted, but the price is relatively low to the knowledge gained by that and the knowledge about Fediverse dynamics and the missing verification and validation. And if we know that verification and validation is missing, we might get an idea how to implement it in a way that, yeah, the impact of validation and verification is not that hard. But yeah, we still know where to touch it. So we are coming to the practical part of it. I opened a research instance. I think it's still online because there's a little, yeah, proof of concept still available there at daystormnets.org. Some people ask me why it has this name, because the name is weird, because I can't spell correctly. Just a little bit of a Star Trek hint, there is a research station called Daystrom. I misspelled it. Because I'm just a human and I didn't want to change the record again. So yeah, no bigger story behind that. And then I announced 300,000 active users by it, by just changing the API, and saw what kind of impact it had. I previously mentioned the platform, the Federation. I think you might not see it, but my instance was the second largest instance at the federation.info, because they just scrape the data of all available instances they know. And by that, I became the second largest Mastodon instance. Hooray! The sad thing is, I didn't have an impact on the official statistics of Mastodon, and I didn't have an impact on the bot Mastodon user count. The Mastodon user count bot is a, yeah, quite popular bot about the Fediverse, and I, yeah, saw it during my research and thought, okay, this thing has some kind of validation or verification, or I just didn't, or just don't know my instance. Let's change that. So the idea is to affect more statistics with a new setup. The new setup includes, yeah, several Mastodon instances, or something that looks like several Mastodon instances. I had 20 servers at a new domain. It looked like 20 servers. Basically, I had one Mastodon instance at master1yana.de, and there were several redirects to it, so depending on the request, and a valid user account, so I can federate with a bigger Mastodon instance, so the statistics services would find them all. Why are there 20 instances? Because my idea was, okay, if I have one Mastodon instances with a constant user crow, it would might not be visible enough for the bot, so I had 20 of them. So it looks like, and then I decided to increase the user number by 500 per hour to not accidentally have something that looks like unnatural growth. My idea was, with Daystorm, I have 300,000 users at once, but that was it. So you can basically think about it like, okay, an instance will not grow that large overnight, or at least not in a short amount of time, hopefully. And yeah, that was basically the new setup. We will focus now on the user count bot because I wasn't able to affect the official Mastodon statistics, and mostly about the reactions to it, because I already said it's about social dynamics we had and a part of social hacking. What I don't want to do with this is to insult someone or to make fun of someone or something like that, because when I would be in the same position to just watch the user count bot, I would also start to make theories about it. And so the thing is, I don't want to attack someone personally by quoting them. And no one is judged for speculations, because I would do the same. Just as a disclaimer. So we started. At this point, we launched the attack, I think, 2 hours ago, and it started to grow. Before that attack, there were like 800, 900 users per hour, and we were to 1,400. So it isn't very suspicious for this time, because we just started. And it could be part of the background noise, but it's still visible enough to make people cheer about it. But then we increased it a little bit more, and as you can already see, there are a lot of more likes than usual and some retweets. So we are growing. And there were the first speculations. Some people thought it was Reddit blackout. This is a temporal coincidence because I started the attack when Reddit had some problems, and I had the attack for I think over a week or 10 days to make really sure that it's not the Reddit blackout and it's really me faking those statistics. So some theorized that it could also be the growth about Kaben and Lemmy. And there's the thing that at this point in time, the Mastodon app was featured in the iOS store, so maybe users are coming from there. And of course, Elon Musk is always doing something stupid, so Mastodon is growing. Yeah. Then we came to 3,000 users per hour, and we have many more speculations. Looks like another mass exodus from Twitter and this app is underway. More users, more instances, but same number of tools. People are just trying and then they leave. So people are getting suspicious about the growth. Also something good. So I hear this is Reddit users starting a grand move, that or spam and gambling websites. Well, not really. Who have started their own servers because instances keep kicking them out. Again, just rumors, we'll see. There were also blog articles where this was mentioned, so I feel somehow honored. And the growth is also getting suspicious. Because, as you can see, the user number is going up, but I didn't fake toots. Because, I didn't thought about it really. And I didn't want to push toots, I just wanted to push user numbers. People are, getting confused about the user count bot because it's not very reliable, it seems. Someone is talking about bot instances, something about that later. And not a spam spike. Again, accuracy of the numbers, and then we drop it off. As you can see, from 3,000 to 300, people were very sad about it, as you can imagine. Something broke. I think that was a random migration effect. It is saturated now. Not really, I'm sorry. What the heck happened? Me happened? apparently the increase was mostly because of spam accounts. No, no one has been filtered out. I just shut it off to a static user number of 42 users per instance. broken with no explanation. So the user bot count is again under reputation attack. And this was basically the best explanation. The best thing about the Mastodon user account bot is nobody knows who runs it, nobody knows if it's working, and nobody can explain why the numbers it generates jump up or down by a massive magnitude in a legitimate or an illegitimate way. It's a mystery how many people and instances are actually on. I really enjoyed this. Yeah, and besides random speculations, there are some speculations about the domain jana.de, because I mean you might know it as something different, because but it's basically a domain that was donated. And yeah, this is a tweet about it. Like, there were a few similar name instances. And someone is also talking about my research project, because at this point in time, some Fediverse admins already knew about me, that I'm doing some experiments, and yeah, they were communicating about it. And all the Thai activity was basically fake. That's true. Again, I didn't shut down the network, but yeah, something like that. And then again, some connecting issues. And this one is my favorite, because someone suspected me, or at least the domain, to prepare a spam attack and a bot farm. And yeah, you might know why. Well, they did some open source intelligence and found out that the domain goes to Niedermeyer IT GmbH, which is a ledger company in Regensburg for printer publishing, IT and advertisement. And the idea was, now it could be compromised, because yeah, companies are getting compromised nowadays every time. But it's an advertisement company. I mean, it's print advertisement and not really online advertisement, but they could change, because capitalism. So it's a corrupt advertisement company starting a botnet to mine personal data. If I would be about to mine personal data on Mastodon, I wouldn't start a bot farm, because you can do it without a bot farm, and I wouldn't do it in such a suspicious way. But yeah, here we are. So, some clarification. Niedermeyer IT GmbH is a friend supporting my research who donated the domain to me. And yeah, we are obviously not preparing a bot farm, no advertisement. That's the whole story. So yeah, it's funny what people are assuming if they are just trying to find out some growth theories. So what do we learn about this? We have trust across Fediverse as design decision. We trust the instances, what they are publishing, and yeah, have not that much of validating and verification mechanisms. As I said, initial probing with valid activity pub syntax is sufficient, because it's not only about Mastodon service, it's about activity pub as a standard protocol, and every service communicating with activity pub can be recognized by other activity pub services. We have at least some verification mechanisms by third parties. So FediDB was not impacted, for example, and the official Mastodon API was also not impacted, but I'm not sure why or why not, because I didn't dug that deep into the Mastodon API. I just took those results and I was happy about it. And yeah. And there's a thing I would like to call social logging and monitoring, because we have a federated platform. A federated platform is at least not by nature, by its design nature, capable to have a central logging and monitoring mechanism. So attacks against the Fediverse or Mastodon are not detected like for a centralized service in such a way. But we have something like social logging and monitoring. I found out that instance providers are communicating frequently with each other, for example, by the hashtag MastoAdmin, to inform each other about things that happen across the Fediverse. And the open question here is that sufficient for the current growth of Mastodon? That's in general a big question about the whole growth thing about Mastodon. Can we reasonably make it grow that this way it's currently growing without implementing more verification and validation mechanisms and, yeah, to remove trust as a design decision? So there are also some impacts on, yeah, the social part of it, like there are theories for the growth and explanations very fast because, yeah, just someone is announcing random numbers with their instance API, which is something basically everyone can do. And this attack is not that hard to reproduce, if you would like to call it an attack. And therefore, social relations and their implications are part of social network security we have to think about. So a little bit of an outlook by Mastodontian. Can we keep trust as a design decision or not? If that's something we can fake, what else are we able to fake? I mean, if this information is just trusted, which information is just trusted to, announced by a Mastodon instance? And we have to take the maturity of users and instance providers into account by, yeah, just thinking about media competence and their somehow education and how they use social media. So what do they believe and what do they not believe? What should they believe and what should they not believe? So it's basically questions we all can take home with us. What do we believe on social media and what not? And this is the reason why this is, yeah, a simple statistics fake might be a lot larger than the question of, oh, okay, I can edit a JSON file and add arbitrary content. It's about, yeah, social media competence in general and what to believe and what not. And this is the reason why I submitted this talk here to this conference, because it's about who's owning reality and what kind of reality do we believe in. So thank you for your attention. I want to thank Laszlo, who's hopefully watching the recording. Hi. Kai, as my professor from Germany, Mastodontian, of course. Thanks to Mephisto and Niedermayr for, yeah, donating some infrastructure. If you have questions, I think we have the time for it, and you can obviously find me in the Fediverse and here at the conference. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Leah Rain. I think it's the first time that I'm speaking with somebody who actually had such an effect in the Mastodon Fediverse. So.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. Yeah, so other questions? Yes, somebody.
So I know that the Mastodon servers don't moderate your home feed or your home timeline, so the posts are not boosted by this in any way. But could it have like an effect on recommendations for servers? Like because there is on join.mastodon.org, you get like a recommended list of instances to join. And could you abuse this maybe to show up higher in that list and make your instance seem more nice?
Well, I think it depends, because I think this list is somehow moderated and checked regularly. If you want to appear on this list of instances, yeah, you have to have an agreement with Mastodon that you are actually a nice person and don't do anything bad. And I think they check it, or at least if you are doing some suspicious stuff, well, they might, yeah, see it because they are, because of the social logging and monitoring, like I called it. And well, I think after a short amount of time they would notice it, but there's no guarantee that they would. So I'm not 100% sure how they make the list, but you might be able to sort it by the user number, so maybe, but I'm not 100% sure.
More questions? So I have a question. Your last questions were quite good ideas, but as Mastodon isn't used so much for selling stuff for advertisement like Twitter, maybe it's not so important how many people actually they are active as it would be at Twitter or something.
Yeah, I agree with this, but it's still about, well, it's a working proof of which kind of information is trusted and which information, yeah, might not be trusted in a way that it should trust now. So, yeah, it might not be relevant how many people are using an instance, but, for example, which content people like is something that should be validated. And, yeah, it's basically showing that information in Mastodon is rather, yeah, consumed in a good faith.
Yeah, there was another question.
In addition to this, I think growth number of Mastodon would have an impact on the shareholder value of Twitter. So,
yes.
And I, so if you fake that Mastodon had a big growth and users, Twitter would fall. And consequently, I assume that some people now are blaming you for working for Elon Musk. Did this happen?
Nope, not working for Elon Musk, but because of another attack that, yeah, was a little accident. Some people across the Fediverse weren't that happy with me. But, yeah, this attack kind of faking statistics is more about faking statistics for other instances and inside the network. But what you said with, yeah, seeming to have a larger Mastodon in general, a larger Mastodon network in general, is something the network itself would do, yeah, for the network and not against the network, against other instances inside.
It reminds me a bit about how you attack, for example, Tor network, where you basically do this, basically the statistics stuff to de-anonymize your users. And now my question would be like, okay, can you do this kind of, in probably an attempt to canalize the social interaction patterns by API, the API, and is there probably a way to fuzz the API a bit better?
Well, I didn't think about that. Things I thought about was like, well, what happens if I announce negative user numbers? Or what happens if I announce, yeah, not numbers at all? I didn't test it, but I think something might break.
Okay, more questions? Maybe you want to ask other questions that you don't want to have recorded. Then Leah Rain is probably available afterwards.
Yeah, sure.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you for this talk. I think it was very fascinating, at least for me. Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you very much.